You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It is the final edition of the Mitch Henderson Show as we take a look at Princeton Tigers basketball. And as always, here to join us, the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson. Coach, welcome.
Hey, Derek, how are you? Good to be back here one last time.
Absolutely. And it's been a fun ride this season, and certainly we'll get into the 2018-19 season. But let's go back first to last Saturday. The Tigers go through what a roller coaster game on Saturday in the Ivy League tournament semifinal against Yale. 83-77 win for the Bulldogs over the Tigers. But how proud are you of your team after how the game started? And then that second half run was really amazing.
Yeah, you know, you finish the game, and I'm sitting here right here next to Miles. And Miles and the other seniors. It's bittersweet because it was a loss, but it felt very much like a positive moment for the program. And then, you know, really the most important thing you've got to address in that moment is, you know, the fact that we're done. And, you know, we're saying goodbye to seniors and their important contributions to the program. But, there are a lot of things that happened in that second half, but it was so much fun. I said afterwards, and I'll say I've thought about it a lot, you know, like the thing that I love most about coaching, the thing that I look for, the thing that makes me the happiest is watching the guys be happy for each other and share in moments. And then, of course, in that moment, performing. And I thought that was just personified in the second half. And the crowd, our crowd, really pulled us to that moment. And so I think a lot of credit goes to them.
Absolutely. That was not an easy environment for the Tigers to play in. Obviously, at Yale's home court at Lee Amphitheater, it's a 46-34 game at halftime. It's an up-and-down contest throughout. And really, you mentioned the swing of momentum there in the second half. A big part of that was just a little bit of something from everybody to help contribute in that run. Sebastian Much was able to knock down some threes in the course of the game. Jerome DeRozier hit some big shots at times. Jalen Llewellyn and, of course, Miles and Richmond as well really chipped in.
Yeah, so, you know, a key play was, you know, the and-one right before half to make it, you know, it was, you mentioned it was back in, you know, they were sort of running away with it. It was 46-31, and you know, we were able to finish the half on a positive note, and then to go on a 17-2 run to start the second half. And you know, we had been in that moment before in the season, and you know, in fact, we were at the same moment at Yale previously where we kind of came back and tied the game. But I thought that the game hinged on a few things, right? But it was the play of Jalen. You know, him sort of dictating things offensively, and he showed his emotion in the course of the game, which I really loved to see. Ethan, you know, had 8 rebounds and no turnovers. And then Richmond inside, right? Like, and Miles and Jerome, you mentioned all these different guys, like Richmond inside, right? Like, but the Miles fouling out of the game really hurt, It hurt for a lot of reasons, but the main one being that, you know, it's his senior year, and it was a really important game. And I'll let Miles – I don't want to steal Miles' thunder, but he said after the game that he was so proud of the way the team was playing, and he felt good sitting on the bench when you have 5 fouls. It's really a horrible and rotten feeling. And for him to say that, it's sort of how I felt, but I was wondering during the game how he was feeling. So I thought – I was just so happy for the team that played the way that they did.
Absolutely, and as that game progressed, when Miles Stevens fouls out with about 3 minutes left to go, it seemed like Mione really, at that point, said, okay, now here's my chance to maybe try to take the game over.
Yeah, he did that. He also said right before that we were talking to the officials, you know, which we don't do. And he got a technical for talking to me during a game.
Right.
So I thought that was ironic. You know, I don't know what's the right word there, but you know, they had to make you know, look. You're looking at the stat sheet, right? Like, this is a game that goes either way. You know, we go 15 for 20 from the free throw line. We out-rebound them. They're 1-5 on the season when they get out-rebounded. Now they're 2-5. They had eight turnovers. We have 10, so I think that was a big swing in the game. We needed to go up there and have less than 8 turnovers. And then, you know, they went 16 for 16 from the line, which is what good teams do in big moments. That shows that seniors and the level of comfortability on the line. But I think they needed every single one of those. And even when they got up 3, we came down, scored right away. It's a one-point game again. They made both free throws. We scored again, went 1 for 2 from the line, then they scored again and made both free throws. So those happened to be pressure free throws that they made, and that's what, you know, the team that's representing us in the NCAAs, that's what you need to do.
Do you take any solace out of a little bit of what happened the next day? Not that it was an easy game by any stretch, but certainly they were able to pull away from Harvard a little bit easier than they were from your team.
Well, I thought, you know, Copeland to me was just dominant on Sunday. I got a chance to watch much of the game, and with Oney on the bench, it's strange. Like, it's very similar to the team we had 2 years ago that was able to kind of call on different guys in different moments, and I think that's the mark of a good team. And Copeland is an excellent, excellent player. I'm glad he got first team All Ivy. He was very deserving, and on Sunday, I thought he was the difference. But I think that's a testament to Jalen and his defense on Copeland, which, you know, for me, Copeland's, 5 for 12. You know, he's 16 points, he has 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 turnover. It's a pretty good line, but Jalen, I think, did a good job managing him throughout the course of that game.
And it's always tough to play two ways, play effectively on offense and defense as well. And both Jalen and Miles were able to do that during the course of the game.
Yeah, well, and the season. Yeah. You know, and that was the biggest thing is we asked Jalen not only to handle the ball, you know, everyone, we all know he's talented. And, you know, it's almost the worst thing you can say about somebody is like, oh, man, I hear you guys have this freshman, right? Like, well, you know, what about foul trouble? What about having to guard? What about the focus on a scouting report? All the things you've got to think about, the noises in the game, the distractions. By the way, you got to go to school.
Yeah.
You know, and then, yeah, here he is against Harvard, Yale, Brown, Yale, guarding seniors or juniors or high-level basketball players that, these are really tough guards, and you're asking somebody as a freshman. I never asked a freshman to do it since I've been here. But he's capable, and that experience for him is invaluable. And then for him to have he had a little moment when he got an and-one on Phil's. I think right before or maybe right when Miles – right before Miles fouled out. And he owned the moment, so to speak, and kind of just let his emotions out. And, I mean, that was all worth it for me. Just to see him show that to the team and to all of us.
A part of many cool moments in the second half for the Tigers, a 15-0 run to help start out second half action in which Princeton was able to eventually grab a lead against Yale before things kind of went the other way late. Overall in the contest, Richmond Uriri-Guzzo, 24 points, 8 rebounds. Jalen Llewellyn had 17 points. Miles Stevens with 13 as well. As you start to take a look a little bit towards next year, how important is it to get players in these types of moments who will be there next year and to see some of the positive contributions that you saw?
It's invaluable. The difference in 1 week, so, you know, I was having a conversation with our athletic director, Molly, right before we went up to Yale, and I was just telling her, like, I'm so pleased that we're representing, you know, we obviously went into the last weekend of the season with an opportunity to win the league. And we were disappointed, just like everyone else, the way the weekend went. But the team responded every step of the way all year to tough moments. And there are no excuses. I never make an excuse. We were playing without Ryan, and we were adjusting to that and life without him. And we sort of knew right away we weren't going to play with him over the course of the weekend coming up. So Ethan, Max, Jerome, Sebastian, Jalen, even Richmond, who didn't play 2 years ago in the Ivy League tournament. You know, these are like unbelievable moments to have together. And then to feel the support of the crowd, to know that there's a bunch of people that care so much about Princeton basketball, and then for them to hear it and feel it and to know it. These are the things, and I never talk about myself or my time, but these are the things that I knew and know as a player mm-hmm. and now as a coach. And now they feel it too, and there's pride in that. And then there's pride in you being the person now that's dictating that. So I really feel like it's a springboard for us as we hit the spring and the summer, which is when really the development happens.
Absolutely, and we will talk a little bit about next season and what's to come here for the Tigers in just a bit. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey from the Alchemist and Barrister. Stay tuned. More headed your way right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. You can stop in the A&B all day, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game. And enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. Also, tonight's show brought to you by NJM. Wherever life takes you, NJM will be there protecting your car and home so you can enjoy the important moments. This isn't just insurance, it's NJM. Visit NJM.com today. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Coach, before we transition to next year. Obviously, the officiating was one of the hot-button topics in coming out of that game, and obviously the situation with Miles as that game progressed. Collectively, as a whole, did you feel like things were a little tight, or was that just normal standard procedure for officiating during the course of games?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. You're trying to get me in trouble. We guarded all season. We were the number one ranked defensive team in the league, and we felt very strong about our approach and the way we do things. And, you know, Miles is the best defender in the league, in my opinion. And, you know, he got the matchup with Miles and Oney was a key part of that game, and it was a big part of everything that was going on. And there were, you know, calls that, you know, those calls were really close. What we feel doesn't matter at this point.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like the main thing you're always looking for in a game is it consistent? And, you know, when I talk with the head of officials in the Ivy League, they always, you know, he always reminds me, like, we're trying to do the best we can, and so are we, right? That's the whole point. And there is a moment in every game where, you know, you're having kind of an internal dialogue with yourself with in relation to, like, okay, like, does this person that's reffing the game understand what's at stake? And then, and generally I think they do. You know, it's a big game, right? It's a different, it's tournament feel. It's totally different. So, that's the thing about coaching. You can't really say what you really think, you know, but I think that, it's tough for us because Miles not being on the floor in the last 3 minutes, that really was a major factor in the game.
No question about it, as the Tigers unfortunately fall 83-77 against the Bulldogs. And now we get set to take a look at what's to come for next season. One always interesting kind of side issue during the course of this year when you get to March Madness is kind of something you hit on earlier, the decision to kind of figure out what to do next as far as are you going to participate in tournament X, Y, and Z. There are questions out there about how does that process work? How does that work? And for those people that don't know, the CBI, the CIT, things like that, how do you make that decision on whether you want to play?
Yeah, well, you know, we're close with our administration mm-hmm. on these decisions, and our goal every year we start off and is to play in the NCAAs and to win the league. So, you know, if you have an opportunity to win the league, obviously you're going to the to the Ivy League tournament, but you're also like Harvard right now is playing in the NIT, and that would be a secondary tournament we would consider, of course. But outside of that, right now, like our goals right now here in 2019, you know, we've obviously participated since I've been the coach in the CBI, and there's a time for that, and that might be good for certain teams, right? But for us, our goal was all along to play in the NCAAs, and so that's where we stood with it.
Now, as you get ready for next season, certainly there's a lot to juggle in terms of, you mentioned player development and then a new class of recruits getting set. What's the process now for you as a coach to get ready for next season?
Well, we've been doing that here the last few days, and, you know, it's boy, that these, you know, you wear a bunch of hats during the season, and then you sort of take off a few and you put new ones on. And so the number one thing is players are made in the spring and the summer. That's the top priority. And, you know, Richmond's here, and Richmond spent a significant amount of time here on campus. While he was doing other things, he would take a bus, you know, every day from Trenton and arrive in our gym to get a workout and lift. And his improvement was just massive, right? Like, he was always strong, but he improved on strength and in areas where he needed it. He's a worker. Like, that's, he just put the time in. So the template is there at the top with Richmond, right? And that's where we'll start. Because our program has always been about getting better and making sure that you're taking the steps necessary to get better. So we'll outline that for everybody on the team. You know, of course, strength, we got to have some guys put some weight on. You know, we're looking at, you know, some freshmen that played significant minutes. Of course, Colby and Drew didn't play as much, but both very good players. The sophomore class has seen significant contributions for what we're doing, and we'll outline the path to success for those guys too. But the main message I'll have for the guys is, and you know, they'll hear this again from me if they're listening right now, is, you know, you had a nice second half to finish the season, but now, you know, the juniors, you guys are seniors, and sophomores are juniors, and freshmen are sophomores, and we have, I think, a terrific recruiting class coming in, and we expect big things from them. However, it takes time to learn how to win,
right?
And we expect the older guys to show the way, and that means the culture of the program, right? So getting to work, you know, putting the time in necessary. So this is something I can talk about all day, Derek, so I'm going to go
thing.
But I
do
mean it's it's really like the key to the whole program, right, is individual improvement. This is, you know, I'm not comparing myself to Richmond, but because I think he's just, you know, I'm sitting here watching him eat a burger right here in front of me. But you know, I improved. That was my thing, and that, I think a lot of times you see your team, you know, you sort of take your own approach and sort of put your own thing on it. And that was me. I got so much better. So I'm a believer in change. I'm a believer in people and taking the time that they need to take and doing it. I never believe ever that a guy can't do something if they put their mind to it. You know, right. Ethan, can he dribble with his left hand? He would say right now, yeah, of course I can dribble with my left hand, you know. But I would say, is he an expert dribbler? Does he never lose it? Does he have the confidence in the toughest of situations to put it on the floor and do an inside-out move and jump into a, you know, into the contact and finish at the top of his jump and make it all the time? You know, Jalen, can he push through that contact? Can he get the time that he needs in the weight room to push through the little handshakes that happen, right? Like, how about the scouting report that's out there on him? Can we look at that? And is he going to look at that with a discerning eye? Or is he going to say, you know what, I don't believe that that's true. Like, I disagree, you know. And so it's not just physical, it's mental too, right? Like, we're trying to take everybody and say, okay, this is what you need to do, and this is what, here are the steps that that others have tried to take that will look similar to you that have gone well, and here's that haven't gone so well. You know, some guys really want to get big, huge. Like, they want to bulk up. They think that that's the key. And that's not always a good thing for everybody, you know. So we look at everything, as I've just talked here way too much, we look at this a lot, right? Like, this is – and then, of course, we're recruiting, right? Like, my gosh, you know, so we're in the middle of that. But right now, we're you know, basketball fans. Like, join the tournament. This is where we want to be a year from now. So you're sort of watching all the games, and the guys are on spring break. So,
one guy I wanted to ask you about certainly was Ryan Schwieger. Surely it has to be somewhat disappointing for him and for you to see the season end the way that it did for him, not being able to get back out there. But heading into next season, you'd have to think he'd have some momentum and feel pretty good about where he stands.
Yeah, I think so, too. Ryan had a terrific year. Mm-hmm. He was such a big part of, you know, almost single-handedly won us five games by himself. Not to discount what anybody else has done, but he put us on his back in big moments. He's a difficult position to define. I want him to be everything, you know, a little bit of a six. He's almost 6'7". When you stand next to him, you know, I always tease him that he's got the long back and the long neck, but he's huge. And he's a worker. He really learned, I think, in the last 6 months how to work. And, you know, nobody likes to hear that, really, but he learned how to he has made himself into a very good college basketball player through sheer work. And I think that is, to me, one of the defining characteristics of a very good player. And I want Ryan to take more ownership of what he is. We want more of what he's doing and what he is into the program. He's a very humble kid. He doesn't say a lot. He won't talk about himself. Which I love about him, but it's time for him to now take ownership. And part of ownership means leadership comes in a lot of different ways. You can lead when you're young by just playing hard, but Ryan has all the tools to put us in a position to be successful. And now he, you know, part of leadership is to hold others accountable to that standard.
He will be a part of the Tigers movement forward next season. And before we let you go, got to get your thoughts on the tournament.
Yeah.
What stands out to you about the field? Duke, the overall number one, you saw them this year. Yale's taking on LSU. Interesting draw for them. Anything stand out for you in particular?
Well, I mean, I love the tournament and the matchups. I like Yale's opportunity against LSU. You know, it's neutral site game. These are 18 to 22-year-old kids. Every year everyone's like, I can't believe 13 beat a 4 or mm-hmm. 12 beat a 5. I mean, like, to me, it's of course they did, you know. The officials are being evaluated differently. It's not same old song and dance. Well, I've been here before. I know this game. This is
right.
Yale's better
right.
team. They're
right.
going to, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's the tournament. And then, you know, I read this really incredible article today about how Virginia's made some changes and Tony Bennett made some changes from last year to this year. And one of the things was he was describing – what happened during the game against UMBC. So this is on a national this is the story, right? Last year, the upset 16-1. And, you know, all of a sudden shot selection gets questionable. And you start taking, instead of searching for a great shot, you start taking worse shots. And then the other team's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that noise from those little teams, that's the best part about this whole thing, is this Thursday to Sunday period that we're coming up here on, it's the best. You know, I mean, obviously tonight too, right? There's games tonight, but Thursday to Sunday is the best thing ever because it's all these little stories and that make up, and we get a chance to watch these kids kind of go through it together. You know, I'm fired up.
Well, the Tigers certainly on the road, perhaps back to the NCAA tournament next season. Coach, thank you so much for your time this season. It's been wonderful as always.
Always a pleasure, Derek. You're a pro all the way through, man. We're lucky to have you, and love being here at the AMB. So, thank you. And I'm glad you got. I think Miles and Richmond might have been our first guys of the season, right?
Like I think so.
So
yeah.
I'm glad you've got him here for the wrap up.
They are coming up next right here on the Mitch Henderson Show. Stay tuned. We'll have more from the AMB in just a moment on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister here in Princeton, New Jersey. It is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey, as we are joined right now by two very special guests, Miles Stevens, Richmond Arirguzo of Princeton Basketball. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
And guys, last Saturday, such a great game and an unfortunate result for the Tigers, but how proud of the team were you both? Obviously, that big second half comeback to really turn the tide in the game.
I mean, it was great to watch, especially because even when Miles left, we left like really young guys, and it's always great to see that fire from them. especially like Jalen, we didn't let his motion show, and the whole team was in it, and the bench was providing great energy. So even though we lost, it was a great moment.
Miles, how about for you? Certainly a roller coaster game.
I mean, I would agree. It was tough sitting on the bench and not being able to be on the court and help my teammates out. But like Richmond said, at the same time, it was really great to see the young guys. And I told them after the game, I was sitting on the bench with five fouls with 2 minutes left down the stretch. But at the same time, I felt confident in them and I believed in them. We just didn't get the end result we wanted.
Miles, certainly when you go through that first half, you picked up your second foul with about 12 minutes left to go. How frustrating was that? You had a chance to come back in, obviously, and contribute in the first half. But when something like that happens, how hard is it to kind of stay mentally locked in?
It's tough, but the thing is you have to be more locked in. Try not to pick up the next one. Unfortunately, I did. But you definitely have to stay locked in. Make sure you're moving your feet, not using your hands, trying not to foul again. So it was a tough thing to do when you're guarding Mione.
Richmond, as we take a look here at your performance, career high, 24 points, 8 of 11 from the field, 8 rebounds. It seemed like they just didn't have an answer for what you were doing throughout that game. How confident were you as that game moved on?
Even coming into the game, I knew that I had to be the game changer. I had to have a great night because just what we were up against, a very veteran team. And we know that, like, as far as exploding mismatches, for us it was going inside to me because they weren't really used to guarding the post. They wanted to double and this and that. So even when the game started going on, I started making some layups, started getting some calls, going my way, hitting free throws. Then I definitely got more confident and decided to attack even more.
The environment of the Ivy Tournament, it was crazy, as expected, certainly with the Yale fans. But the Princeton support, I thought, was really cool, seeing how they stayed in it with the team, even though at one point the lead got to 15 in the first half for Yale, but the support was still strong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you're on the road, you know, it's going to be a daunting environment, and it was kind of nice to have that crowd there with us, especially in the second half, making that run. I mean, at one point, they were chanting, and it kind of sounded like we were at home, and it was nice, and it felt like Yale had their back against the ropes. But it's always nice to have a big crowd wherever we go.
Miles, take me through your thoughts there as you're walking off the court for the final time. Obviously, you didn't know what was going to happen in the rest of the game at that point, but that had to be an emotional moment for you.
Yeah, definitely a nostalgic kind of moment walking off the court for the last time. Kind of a weird moment. The game hadn't ended, and even when the game ended, I hadn't really comprehended that, you know, that was the last time I'd play in a Princeton uniform. But in the moment, I was like, man, I hope these guys can win so I can get in, suit up the jersey one more time. Like I said, unfortunately, we weren't able to do it, but, you know, in the moment, I was rooting for the team.
What stands out most to you about your career? If you may need more time to reflect over the next couple of weeks and months, but what stands out to you right now for your career as a Tiger?
It's a tough question. I think one of the things that stands out to me is, or one of the things that I might, this might be changing the question a bit, but one of the things that I kind of want to be remembered by is a great teammate and someone that's known for coming into practice every day and doing everything that they can to get better, make your teammates better, and then doing everything that they can on the weekends to help your team win.
And as a part of that, the future of the team seems to be in pretty good hands with the guy sitting to your left, Richmond Ariri Guzzo. How about his progress throughout the course of the season and his awesome performance on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, on Saturday, I mean, he really helped us in the first half. I mean, I think if it weren't for him, we might have been in trouble with a bigger deficit going into the second half. And then throughout the season, he's just improved. I mean, down low, he's a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, he's developed a little jump shot, which he showed on Saturday.
Oh, we're getting to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just awesome to see. When you have a big presence down low, it takes a lot of pressure off the guards and making plays. Sure.
Richmond, he mentioned the jump shot. Early on in the game, we saw you kind of to flash that out. How long have you been working on that, and is that something we can expect to see moving forward?
I think I've been working it since I've been at Princeton. I always had a little short corner jump shot, even in high school. Always deferred from shooting threes. I felt more comfortable with that mid-range game. But I think it's just a question of confidence, and then knowing when to take it. That, I think, was a perfect scenario. You know, nothing else was open, shot clock winding down, and I feel like I could make that shot. So I think just a question of knowing when you can take that shot and then when it's the best for the team, and when it's that you should work to get a better shot. But you can definitely, even my senior year, I'll try to slash that more.
Now, in your first Ivy League tournament experience, how did that feel? Because it's your first Ivy League tournament experience in terms of playing.
Yeah.
You were at the first one in 2017. What was different besides, obviously, getting a chance to play major minutes?
I mean, sustaining energy and intensity. I think, you know, when you're on the bench and you're cheering for your teammates, making, like, celebrating every play, it's one thing, but then to go out there, make those plays, and then guide the younger guys and making sure that they keep their energy up and they don't get too down or too up at any given point, that's definitely one of the big differences. And then, you know, just focusing on details, even in that kind of environment, you know, that's probably the biggest thing.
Miles Stevens and Richmond Ariri Guzzo here with us on the Mitch Henderson Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with more from the Alchemist and Barrister right here in Princeton, New Jersey. This is the Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned.
This is Tracy Thompson, New Jersey's acting insurance fraud prosecutor. Insurance fraud is providing false information to an insurance company in order to receive compensation or benefits. It may include filing a false claim or exaggerating damages, injuries, or other losses. Insurance fraud costs New Jerseyans billions of dollars every year. Together, we can stop it. Go to njinsurancefraud.org for details. Insurance fraud. Report it. End it.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show each week throughout the Princeton Tigers basketball season. Join them live at 28 Witherspoon Street every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Fans presenting a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game can enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos all day on Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. Visit the Alchemist and Barrister in the heart of Princeton and online at theamb.com. The Alchemist and Barrister, well known as the Cheers of Princeton, proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show and support the Princeton Tigers.
When the lane's packed on the court, you go to the open player. When the lane's packed on the highway, you go to ProPilot Assist, the 2019 Nissan Rogue. Now with available Nissan Intelligent Mobility technologies like ProPilot Assist that can start and stop in highway traffic all on its own. Nissan Rogue, for the win. Get to Nissan, proud partner of the Princeton Tigers. ProPilot Assist is an available feature and cannot prevent collisions. Always monitor traffic conditions. Keep both hands on the steering wheel. See owner's manual for safety information.
Hi, I'm Noah from Clean Meats Meal Prep, a company dedicated to providing you with delicious and healthy meals, perfectly portioned and delivered right to your door. Ready to enjoy for lunch at the office, dinner at home, or anywhere you like. Our menu of great tasting, nutritionist approved meals contains only the freshest and highest quality ingredients. Our meals aren't just the kind you want to eat. Our meals are also the kind that you know you should eat. Don't take my word for it. Place your order now at cleaneatsmealprep.com and see for yourself why everybody's going crazy for Clean Eats.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
Now, get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
The Mitch Henderson Show right back here in the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey, as we're joined by Miles Stevens and Richmond Ariri Guzzo of Princeton Basketball. Guys, as we start to close the book here on this past season, Miles, I'll start with you first. What stands out to you most about this season, whether it's a game or lessons learned during the course of the year?
Two things. I think the first thing is you talked about a game. I think the Arizona State game really stands out. I didn't even play in that game. And we came away with the win, which is impressive. Like you said, a young team. And just being able to win in that environment, in that manner. After kind of a little bit of struggling in the in our preseason games, it was kind of nice to go into Ivy League with that win under our belt. And then the second thing I would say that stands out is our ability to adapt this season. We were down a bunch of guys, injuries in the beginning of the year. We lost Ryan. And I think it says a lot about our team, like the next man up mentality, and having that mentality, knowing that, hey, you might be called on at any moment to contribute, whether it's rebounding, defense, or scoring, for the guys moving forward, just knowing that they have guys that are willing to contribute in whichever way they can, I think that's going to be helpful moving forward.
Richmond, how about for you?
I think the biggest one, like Miles said, would be the next man up, and then whether it's injuries or where it's just we need a different look. Like, I'll take the example early in our non-conference schedule when we played Iona, and it looked like we were going down. And then we put Drew in, he hit three huge threes. So, you know, that and then – or Jalen coming back in his first game and having a great performance against St. John's. Or even some of the freshmen, like, getting thrown right into the fire when we played Lehigh because we were down Devin, Jalen, and Jose to some minor injuries. So I think just the resilience of this team and the fact that they got to get some experience early on, I think that will really help us going forward.
Now, the both of you received all Ivy honors. What did that mean to you both personally? Because it's, you know, you're being recognized by your peers, which has to be a special moment.
I think it is a special moment. It's something you're not thinking about really until the end of the season, until the awards come out, and then it gives you kind of a chance to reflect back and kind of, you know, not with a big head, but kind of pat yourself on the back for all the hard work that you've done. And to be able to, you know, it's kind of nice to be recognized for your performances week in and week out in the league.
I think personally for me, it was like really great affirmation just just for the work that was put in from the summer and that fall and what has led to this point. Just like the exclamation part, I think, of like what I feel was a drastic change for myself and like more like less so on the court, but more like in my state of mind, how I approach the game, how I approach my team, how I decided to invest myself. So I think for me, it was a really great moment.
Miles and Richmond, now both what's next for you, certainly as you get ready for graduation, there's senior thesis you have to worry about. Miles, first for you, what's next for Miles Stevens?
So the graduation thesis due 3 weeks from today. I have exactly 30 pages left to get to that minimum, which is 75. And then my next step after graduation, I'm going to try and play professionally at the highest level I can. So what that looks like is, you know, taking a little bit of time here to get healthy and get right, and then work out again, sign an agent, and figure out where I'll be.
And there's a long list of Tigers as of late that have been able to do that, and it certainly would not be surprising at all to see you join that list.
Right. Okay. Hopefully I'll be close to some of them so we can, you know, have some company and visit each other.
Richmond, how about for you academically and then, of course, over the summer as you get ready for your senior season?
You know, academically, it's just junior paper things, just getting ready to, like, submit that and then some semblance of a thesis proposal. And then spring workouts and then summer thesis research plus working out. So should be a fun summer ahead.
As we look at some of the returning Tigers, obviously Jalen Llewellyn, Ryan Schwieger, Sebastian Much, a lot of guys you could keep naming. Miles, what would be some of the advice to the returning guys to kind of help carry the legacy, get back to the Ivy League tournament, and prepare for what's to come next season?
I would just tell them, you know, especially the freshman class we have this season, and the sophomore class, I guess, just to work as hard as you can. Like, when you're working out, don't take any plays off or any reps off, just because the next man up, the next man in the league, somebody on Yale, somebody on Harvard is working out, and they might be going harder than you, and that difference will show up in the games. So just, you know, go as hard as you can. If you really want to win and be back in that same position, you have to work for it, and just know that other guys are also working for it. So,
absolutely a key. And Richmond, Coach Henderson said last weekend that your improvement was unlike anything he's seen in 20 years coaching. How do you kind of transfer that type of effort and make it infectious for some of your other teammates?
I don't really feel like there's that need for myself to do so. We have some great workers on this team, especially like I could point to like Ryan Schwieger, the when he made that turnaround for himself when he was called on to step up and put in the starting lineup, and he had like a streak of four great games. We saw him coming in at 8:30 a.m. in the gym to work out with coaches. Like we saw that, we saw like him putting in work before practices the same day he had a workout, or like staying after practices. We saw Jerome do the same thing last year when he was working on the shot. So just we have that culture, and I think even the younger guys, they're well aware of it because they've been through the bad season like last year through a kind of forgettable season, and then we have come short again this year, and they know what it takes now. So,
and I think kind of to piggyback off that point, it has to feel good after what happened in the 2017-18 season to be able to bounce back and now be able to carry that forward into next season. That has to be a good feeling for the team.
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, after that 2017-2018 season, we had a great spring. We just decided to be all about competition and going hard. So hopefully we can make that translate against this spring so we can get even better results next year.
Obviously, this is a crazy time of year with March Madness. Is there anything about the upcoming tournament you guys are looking forward to? Any players you're looking to see? Any team you're looking to check out?
Well, I don't know if this is a shout-out or not, but I have a friend, Miles Powell, who plays for Seton Hall.
Shout-out, Miles.
Close friend of mine from close friend of mine from childhood. We grew up together playing the same teams. So I'm looking for him to make some noise in the tournament. And one key game I'm looking forward to, and I guess a lot of people are too, is Marquette, Murray State. John Morant and Marcus Howard, a little powerhouse matchup of scorers there. So I'm looking forward to see how that game unfolds too.
And there's certainly a few teams you're very familiar with. You mentioned Iona. They're taking on North Carolina early on.
Right. That should be really interesting. You know, especially like getting to play all these teams and like see how they're faring in the tournament. So a couple upsets that some people might not be aware of that we think are coming because we've played against some of these teams. So this March Madness should be another really fun one.
And certainly you have familiarity, obviously, with Yale, and they're taking on LSU. It seems that a lot of people come into the Ivy who don't watch the Ivy League aren't super familiar with how good the league is right now. If you're talking to someone who is getting ready to watch Yale for the first time this season, how would you describe their play through the eyes of someone who is in the Ivy League?
The first thing I would say is, hey, look, they have a bunch of different ways they can score the basketball. So you're not just worrying about one person. You have Mione, you have Alex Copeland, Blake Reynolds can score. You know, they're not a small team either. They have some size. They're athletic. They get out and run. They're a veteran team. They know how to play. So when they play against these teams, these higher seeded teams, it's a bunch of seniors and juniors versus freshmen and sophomores. So they have a little bit of experience on that end.
It should be an exciting run in the NCAA tournament as the Ivy League and the momentum of the league continues to roll on Thursday when Yale takes on LSU. Richmond Ariri Guzzo, Miles Stevens. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to watch you guys all season. Miles, a fantastic career, and look forward to what you do professionally.
Great. Thank you, Derek.
Thanks so much, Derek.
This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. We'll wrap it up from the Alchemist and Barrister in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Final segment here on the Mitch Henderson Show to close out the 2018-2019 season of Princeton Tigers basketball. Reminder, tonight's show was made possible in part by NJM for over 100 years. NJM has been here protecting your car, your home, and where life happens. This isn't just insurance, it's NJM. Visit NJM.com for a quote today. And as we talked about before closing things out with Richmond Ariri Guzzo and Miles Stevens, Ivy League action continuing in the NCAA tournament. Yale playing LSU on Thursday, that game with a 12:40 start time. Other games involving the Ivy League continuing this week as coming up tonight, Cornell will take on Robert Morris. We mentioned with Coach Henderson some of the other postseason tournaments such as CBI and CIT that are taking place during the course of the run while the NCAA tournament and the NIT roll on. So Cornell and Robert Morris playing that game tonight at Robert Morris. Meanwhile, Brown will take on UAB at home. And some huge news out of the Ivy League as it relates to the Brown Bears. It was announced today, actually, by the man himself, Desmond Cambridge, stating that he will be transferring after this season. So he will be leaving Brown, and it will be interesting to see where he lands. It will obviously not be in the Ivy League, and we will see where he goes. But that is a huge loss for the Bears, certainly one of the more explosive players in the league from the offensive side of things. And we'll see how Mike Martin and company respond. The interesting note to this is that he announced this today, and Brown's game is tomorrow against UAB, and it was basically announced that he is not playing in that game on Wednesday against UAB, so he has played his last game with the Brown Bears. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacts Brown moving forward. And then rounding out the look at Ivy League action, Harvard getting the NIT berth as a result of not winning the Ivy League tournament on Sunday. They will play at Georgetown on Wednesday. A couple of quick notes about the Ivy League tournament here is now the focus shifts from Yale to Harvard, because Harvard will be the host institution next season of the Ivy League tournament. What we've seen so far is not necessarily the strength of the number one seed, but the strength of the host. And certainly the Tigers had that opening game of the Ivy League tournament in 2017 where they defeated Penn, were taken to overtime by the Quakers in a game where, of course, that was that great Miles Stevens putback that sent the game to overtime before the Tigers eventually won it. And then we've seen here the last 2 years where the home team has gone into the Ivy League tournament technically as the number two seed. Penn was the number two seed. In 2018, they end up winning the Ivy League title against Harvard. Same thing on Sunday. Yale enters as the two seed and then wins against Harvard in front of their home fans. And I think looking to next year would not be a surprise to see Harvard certainly in the mix to potentially win the Ivy League title in the regular season and then perhaps at home in the Ivy League tournament when that rolls around to Cambridge, Massachusetts. We'll see how things play out. Obviously, the league was super competitive this year. You would expect nothing less as we take a glance towards the 2020 Ivy League campaign. So we'll see what is to come for the Ivy League tournament. We will have, of course, Princeton as the host in 2021. But the narrative, it almost sometimes writes itself. You saw Yale kind of go through the growing pains the last 2 years in the Ivy League tournament, and now the leadership of Mia Ioni and the senior Alex Copeland setting up shop for them this past Sunday to get into the NCAA tournament. Now, as it reaches Harvard next year, a lot of those juniors will be seniors, and that will be a very interesting scene if they're able to get into the Ivy League tournament next season. They will, at least on paper, look loaded, and certainly a lot of talent for Harvard, as the Tigers will, you'd have to think, be in the mix once again in terms of winning an Ivy League title. It's time to head down the home stretch here of the Mitch Henderson Show. Special thanks to all those involved with the program. So many names to go through, but obviously a big thank you to the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson, for his time and effort throughout the course of the season and the entire Princeton basketball operation, including the director of basketball operations, Chris Mongilia, who has done an excellent job hooking us up with guests on a weekly basis. And, of course, back in the studio, Al Brooks for guiding us along. It's been a fun ride here from the Alchemist and Barrister. We will talk to you next season. I'm Derek Jones saying so long from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton on the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Have a good one, everybody.